Okay, this is Chairman Brad Holton. I'm going to bring the meeting to order. We have a 1:30 agenda item, and it's meeting with the City of Napa for a registration fee presentation. So with that, I'll hand it over to Tom, and we can get started.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm Tom Points, Senior Public Works Director, City of Napa. I brought a few of our friends, too, from other local jurisdictions on the highways. So we have 13 agencies and that take care of highways in the Canyon County. So I'm going to go through this presentation, and I was going to give a few minutes to those that want to come up and talk about why this is important to them. And even though this is agenda size, the City of Napa's registration fee, this is really for the Canyon County. It's for all of us. This is a partnership project that we've been working on for a number of years. And it has some history, too. Back in 2019, we were working on this very same thing. We had 10 of the 13 agencies signed up to want to put a registration fee on the ballot, and then COVID came around and everybody got nervous and we had to halt it. So this go around we involved Compass. Compass is here as well to do some workshops, which you saw the picture of the workshop in there that go through, bring us all together. Do we want to do this? Do we not want to do it? And then also talk about what the split would be between highway agencies, cities and highway districts, and then what the potential fee could be. And so we had a lot of good discussions, a lot of formation of what we would want to do. So after that was done, we decided we need to keep this moving. It would be self-driven by the agencies, so we broke into work groups. So the highway districts were led up by Highway District 4, and then City of Napa took on the larger cities, so Star, Caldwell, Middleton, of course, Napa. And then we couldn't quite get a small city group together, so we've kind of been going around talking to some of the small cities here Napa has, and bringing some of our friends along to try to do the same presentation and then see what their interest is. So that's kind of where we're at. And so we're here today not to ask for a decision, but it is coming up soon that we would like to ask a formal decision from the commissioners. And the reason is because there's a deadline of August 28 to get this on the ballot if we're going to do it this year. And the way that the code has been interpreted, we can only put it on a November election, and you only can put it on an even year. And so that's where we're at. So we need to make the decision, move forward or not. But we want to bring you up to speed on all the discussions we've had. I'm sure you've heard that we've been out talking to other people and other agencies about it. We just wanted to bring you up to speed on where we're at, and then maybe ask process-wise at the end what you think would be best to come back and ask for a decision. So can you go to the next slide? Okay, so this is some data from Compass. They helped us understand that we do have we all know this as public agencies, we have a funding shortfall, and it's a pretty good one. I have $49 million annually shortfall through 2050, and it's probably even larger than that. In fact, Napa's done a pretty thorough analysis that we're $600 million in deficit on deferred maintenance between pavements and water lines in the next 5 years. So there's a lot of need out there. And so we're trying to figure out, well, how do we do this, and what do we do? What's the next slide? So I'm going to repeat this a couple times. So just because all of us agencies say, yes, we want this to go to the ballot, say yes to this, it still goes to the voters. The voters get to decide. And it's a 50% plus one on the voters. So I think that's important because we hear a lot about transportation and complaints about congestion, safety, payment condition. And there's limited ways to pay for it. So you can see on the screen here, we did an analysis of all the different things that other regions have done. And some of them are not even allowable in code, which is the no box. But some of the things that are yes were hotel tax, so that not everybody in the county has hotels to be able to do that. And there's other needs with hotel funding. Impact fees, there's a number of us that are already using impact fees, and that's been successful to have growth pay for growth. And then there's the sales tax, but that's only for resort cities, and we're not a resort city in Canyon County. And then property tax. And then property tax is the hardest one as we go around talking to agencies to increase property tax. So we thought that the registration fee could be a route for us. It's allowable by Idaho code. What we're doing is we're following Idaho code, which is good to help protect this process. And it could be a decision of the people doing a registration fee. And it's a user fee, so it's based on the number of vehicles that you have. It's not property tax. Okay, next slide. So like we said, there's very few options. This is directly tied to transportation use. And so it's flexible, which is nice. It doesn't have federal strings or state strings. It has to be used on primary benefit of motorized vehicles, for example. We can use this in pretty much anything. Maintenance of pavements, curb gutter sidewalks, safe routes to school, signage, lighting. I'm going to encourage us to stick to projects and not necessarily go into operations, because operations is generally funded through the gas tax and registration fee that the state collects that comes back to us. But this is this project-based where we're looking at. Okay, next slide. So here's the workshops. You can see the pictures. I think we had three workshops, went through pros and cons, and again, that's how we came up with the proposed split. Next slide. So there was some of the things we've heard is, yes, this is an option. We want to make sure it's affordable for our patrons. So I believe that's how we got to that $20. If you remember back in 2019, we were more like a 25, and then everybody in that room felt like it was a little too high. So we came back down to 20. Put the numbers in perspective, the state registration fee is based on the age of your vehicle. So, $70 if you're 1 to 2 years, and then it drops down to $60 if you're 3 to 5, and it's over 5, it's $50 a year. That's what the state charges, and that's what our citizens see today, because they don't have an optional county registration fee on top of it. ACHD does, and theirs is larger than ours too. Theirs is $35, so it's versus the $20 that we're proposing. So, one of the things, if we get to the point that this can go on the ballot, we want to work on some ballot language, and we also want a list of projects that we can show the public, at least in the year number one, that we could fund, and important projects that would be for the public that would be interest to them, and we'll come up with those lists as agencies and be able to provide those. Okay, next slide. So this is the split, a $20 fee, and then we found out we can't do a $20 fee on a motorcycle because of what state code said. So the resolutions that we've been passing around say $20 for a vehicle and $19 for a motorcycle. And so with all that, it's roughly $4.4 million. One of the things that we talked about in the work group is to change what it says from Idaho code of a 70% highway districts and 30% cities to a 50-50 split between the cities and the highway districts. And we think that that's fair because, there's a lot of voters in the cities, and if they're looking at these projects, they're going to want to see some, to vote on it, they're going to want to see some projects in their area and some funding towards it. So so we've talked about that, and that's where we landed. And then for the highway districts, it was proportionally split between the lane mileage that they have, and then for the cities, it was based on the vehicle registration in each jurisdiction. So ITD can help us with those numbers. When you just did the straight math, small cities, they didn't get very much funding, and so we were concerned about that as large cities, because this is an entire network in our county. It's all connected. We want everybody to have a good condition on their road. So people from Nampa want to go see their grandma in Greenleaf. And then Greenleaf folks want to get to Costco safely and be able to have a nice road to be on. So it's a shared system. So we wanted to make sure that the small cities had more than just what the regular calculation was. And in the work group, we actually came up with 40,000. But since then, afterwards, we all got together and decided that wasn't enough. We need 60. And so the smaller cities that have been on board with this have appreciated that for sure. In some cases, that's their entire annual budget is $60,000 for transportation, so they can do a lot of good stuff with this with that with 60K. So, next slide. So some of the admin costs in the Idaho code is 1.5% goes to ITD off the top, and that allows them to have their software systems, have their DMV, their personnel to collect the fees, and then they would give that fee to the county. And we were talked about having that be once a month to the county. We have talked a little bit to your staff about a percentage and suggested a 1%. Because the ITD would give the funds to the county, and then the county would have to distribute it out to the locals. So, and we know there's some admin cost to that. That's not, it's not free. So we think that's a good start. We also talked to Ada County on this as well. They don't get any percentage. They just, ITD gets all the money. That Ada County does not get a percentage at all. And they actually said they wish they had one. So that was a good thing for us to hear, and we wanted to make sure there was something there for the county. Next slide. So this is a good one that we've been showing some of the small jurisdictions about how you can leverage these dollars to, for grants. So, for example, the $60,000 for a small city, if they were able to use that as match money for some of these local projects for that LTAC has for safety or pavement maintenance, you could turn that $60,000 up with that 7.3% match to an $817,000 project. So that'd be significant for some of these smaller communities. And we just talked to Greenleaf about that yesterday, and they actually voted yes unanimously to move this forward. And they were very interested in that grant match and being able to do more with their dollars. So that's very appealing to them. Next slide. So this is the three paths to the ballot. The first one we talked about in the work groups, 10% of the voter turnout in each county commissioner subdistrict petition and sign it. That would automatically put it on. We didn't think that was something to pursue. And then the next one would be if all 13 agencies agreed to put it on the ballot, it could automatically go on. I don't think we're going to get there. We can go through some of the ones that are on board and some of the ones that are still thinking about it, but time is kind of becoming the essence at this point. We'll circle back with the ones that are still thinking about it, and then there's an opt-out form that we'd like to talk to you about for the ones that are not interested. And then the third one that we believe would, and that was what we're here today to talk about, is the county commissioners could vote to put the initiative on the ballot on behalf of us agencies. Okay, next slide. So we've been going around talking to the different jurisdictions, asking what they think about it. Again, we have till the 28th, so not a ton of time left, but if it was successful, we've already started thinking about next steps about education. So us agencies, we can educate prior to code, but we can't advocate. So Crystal has found an engineering group that might be able to do that for us. And so we just need to contact them if we're able to move forward. Next slide. Okay, so these are the agencies that have signed in favor of it on the councils and commissions. Nampa, Star, Middleton, Caldwell, Nampa Highway District 1, Highway District 4, and then just last night, City of Greenleaf. So we've got 7 of the 13 are yes, and then we've got the two Western Highway Districts still considering it. I haven't heard much from Parma. We need to also talk to them. And then the two that are no's are Notice and Melba. So... Next slide. So the ones that are no's, it's important that we're working on a resolution opt-out form for those agencies to say that we're not interested in this, but we're not opposed to others pursuing it, and we're not opposed to the maintaining the split of the 50-50 between cities and highway districts that was suggested at the workshops. So we'll be going around and asking for signatures on those as well. Next slide. So this is kind of a summary slide. $20 what's 19 on a motorcycle, about 4.4 million. And then 60,000 minimum. It's a 50% plus one, and that's directly in Idaho code. It's a much more favorable vote than some of the supermajority ones on levy overrides, for example. Just an example, NAMPA about 18 months ago put out a go bond for some projects, some pretty big projects we're trying to get done, and it didn't pass, but it made 58%. So we have a chance. Okay, next slide. Okay, so we're not looking for a decision today. We just want to present where we're at. We wanted to talk about the timeline, hoping to have a discussion from the commissioners on who we would contact for next steps and process if it needs, what type of, to get to a decision, do we need to do a resolution for you to consider, and those sorts of logistics is where we're at today. And hoping that we could get back in front of you before the 28th and give us a little time to work with the clerk to get the information that they would need to get on the ballot. So next slide. So before we open it up to Q&A, maybe I was hoping that we could have some of the friends back here come up and say a few things on why this is important to them. I was going to have, unless you want to do something different, if you have questions now, I'm glad to answer them. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, so thank you for your presentation, Tom. I was on the ITD transportation website this last week, and the thing that seems to be missing, maybe I missed it in your presentation, but they have identified projects with a price tag on different hotspots within the valley. So if I go to Highway 2026 and I click on an intersection, I can look at what the projected project is with the cost associated with that. So that's my first thought. My next question is, can you confirm for me, you've indicated that there's 24 years left until 2050 and $49 million shortfall projected each year. Mm-hmm. That's a huge number.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, if I were trying to sell this, I would probably have an identified project list. And you're going to have to, with that number, with that, you got a huge difference in what your projected shortfall is in transportation and how to move people in the valley, and then what your proposed fee is of $20. Those numbers are not close. And so I would want to see all of the need, what could potentially be grant funded, and you'd have to take it. I'm assuming you're matching with federal dollars.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That might be challenging. And where you would place that, I don't know if you've done public outreach, or you have really a good transportation person representing NAMPA. I appreciate the work that she does. In that, when we did the area of impact, one of the hot spots that I think as growth expands in the valley, NAMPA had a great plan to cross the river with a partnership. So, like, I would need more information from your working group. And, you know, I can see that Commissioner Holton was a part of that, but I don't have any other information on how this went down or how you came to that or what your identified project list is. You know, just to go out and solicit money, that's probably not going to be favorable. And then my last, I guess, question, the county has tried, it's no secret, the sheriff's tried for years to get a local option sales tax. So have you approached state leadership about what that looks like? Because our requests go to the 14th order.
Yeah, I'll try to address that. If I miss something, maybe Chris can come up and help me. So on the project list, so the project need, the $49 million, we can certainly encompass this here, and hopefully they can help us answer some of those questions. NAMPA's got a really great GIS system where we can help put that information in so the public can see it. That should not be a problem. And also we could do the same on the ones that year one that we plan on funding with this money. That we can get those messages out. That's a fair point. On the river crossing, you know, that's, yes, some of our registration fee money could help pay for some of that, and that would be a good thing. And then on the local option tax with the state, so actually we have talked about that. I'm actually the president of the Association of Idaho Public Works Professionals, which is a separate group in AIC. We have 180 members on it. We've talked about different things like that. We have, but that one we haven't brought up yet. There's been other ones like finding ways for garbage trucks to pay additional funding towards streets that we've taken that one up this year. But yes, there's actually, we've developed a list of 30 different ways you can fund transportation, and we're trying to leverage all of them to get to that $49 million. But this is just one step of the bigger picture of trying to fund transportation.
Right. Then just help me out on the funding of some of that, like the Highway 55 project that evidently has stalled due to lack of funding from the state of Idaho for that. So it may be, I don't know where any of that's at, but to stack and pack, I just think.
So unfortunately, the strategic initiatives money that we were receiving from the state got cut back significantly last year. And that's one thing that we are going to talk to the state about this year. We've been talking as a transportation agencies. This is what we weren't able to do. And so the same thing happened to the state of Idaho. Some of that, like 55 and some of those projects, they lost that money, so they had to make some decisions on which got cut. So am I right on that, Crystal? Okay.
Thank you for answering the questions I'm interested in, and thank you for the groups that have come to provide input. I like the collaboration. I'm in that game. So we're just here to listen. I'm here to listen.
Thank you, Commissioner.
So let's hear from others unless you have questions.
I had a question, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
Do you, or maybe legal, what is the actual verbiage of the ballot question going to be?
So
I have a hunch, and that's going to be a hang up.
So yeah, good question, Commissioner. We haven't drafted it yet, so we haven't had this conversation. That was on our list to do next. And actually, Greenleaf brought that up yesterday too. One of the commissioners wanted to be very clear on what it's for. And so, initial thoughts, and I'm going to, you know, work with the team behind to try to get this refined. But specifically for transportation, it's for a 20-year period. It's for a $20 fee, $19 per motorcycle. It goes towards projects, not operations. And then it can, and we can list out what type of projects it would be if we need to get that specific. So it could be pavement maintenance, congestion, safety, sidewalks, lighting, all the transportation things that we do. And just try to keep it simple, but more focused on projects and less on operations.
All right. So, Mr. Chairman, I'll be more specific. Like, I believe in consumption taxes. I think that's primarily how government should be funded, if and when possible, at all possible. My concern is that the headline of this thing is going to say, like it did when we ran the ambulance district levy, the Board of Canyon County Commissioners is requesting a $20 fee increase.
Oh.
And so all y'all are coming to us,
yes,
to put it on there, and then what the taxpayer is going to see is us making the request to raise their taxes.
Got it. So that might be something we could do. A majority of the highway agencies in Canyon County are requesting that it goes your vote on X. Maybe we could do something like that. That's a fair question, Commissioner.
So along with that, yeah. And I agree with Commissioner Van Beek, if you could have a list, at least a cursory list, of some identified projects that if you received this funding, it would immediately go to, I think the voter would be a lot more comfortable with that than just looking at this going, we vote for this and it's going to go to some black hole in an agency's budget to get spent. Nobody knows how, kind of thing. That's the messaging battle, right?
We absolutely agree with you, Commissioner. Yes, we need a project list.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I need to hear more from people who've chosen to come today.
Okay. Crystal, you want to go first for Nampa?
Thanks. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and Commissioners. For the record, Crystal Craig, Director of Transportation. So I'm here representing the City of Nampa in this capacity for this. Thanks for taking a couple minutes to hear me out today. I've been at Nampa, well, I guess in 2 days I've been here 4 years. Prior to that, I spent 15 years with the Idaho Transportation Department, most of it here local in the Treasure Valley. So transportation, especially in the Treasure Valley, has always been a passion of mine. And I'm very invested in it. So I really want to talk about the need that we have for more innovative funding for transportation projects and how we need to continue prioritizing those. Tom alluded to it earlier. Right now, Nampa is facing a staggering issue where we have $600 million in deferred maintenance. That number feels almost insurmountable. It kind of keeps me up at night, if I'm being candid. About a third of that is going to be attributed to transportation roadway-specific projects, not the infrastructure below it, just failing pavement itself. To put it in perspective, our average pavement condition index is around 58 to 60. I think ITDs and ACHDs is around the 85 to 95%. So ours definitely needs some additional help, and there's a lot of money that we need. And this money isn't just a number to us. It's a real issue regarding safety and quality of life for our residents and all of the surrounding community that utilize our roadways. One of the challenges that we have is recent legislation, specifically Senate bills 1140 and 1144, so the primary benefit motorized vehicle bills, and then the subsequent one, 508, that got redid a little bit, make it tougher for us on how we can spend our state funds on the specific projects that we need. Nampa needs maintenance money. I think Nampa has been the poster child. We don't want to come with our hands out to our people, but we've been the poster child of aggressively pursuing grants, finding alternative funds, partnering with most of the agencies directly behind us. I think in the last 3 years, Nampa's received $54 million in transportation grants alone. Within the last month, we got awarded a $23 million grant for transportation. Almost all of these are safety, capacity, innovation, those types. Those are the grants that score very high. There's very, very little grants out there for this pavement is in poor condition, there's too many potholes and I need to replace it. That needs to come from different types of funding, including our property tax money. While we do our best to like tackle these projects, like again, it's those rehabs, it's that maintenance money that like I said, is really keeping me up at night. So one of the things that we're appreciating about this registration fee is it's a user fee, right? It's that consumption tax, as you called it. The money collected here in Canyon County, it stays in Canyon County. It doesn't go to the state, and it's not subject to the redistribution each year, depending upon who's in, right? So it's our users paying for our roads without the strings attached on how we want to do it. So Nampa plans to use this specifically for maintenance-related pavement rehab projects. We're looking at standing up our own construction crew. In the breakdown there, it was a little over $1 million would come to Nampa. That's not going to repave a ton of roadway. However, if we had our own crew to be able to do it in-house, like we could do with $1 million, we could do almost an entire mile of repavement. So again, I just want to emphasize that this is a very straightforward solution that's allowed in Idaho code. I know it doesn't tackle Nampa's $600 million issue. It doesn't begin to tackle the $49 million year-over-year deficit that the entire Canyon County is having. But it's a step in the right direction, and it's a bite out of the apple. It's the only way that we're going to be able to tackle this issue. It's just taking it one step at a time, one bite at a time, until we can make these incremental improvements. With that, I'd love to stand for questions regarding Nampa's stance on it.
Chairman. I'm just saying this back, but you're valuing that paving at $1 million a mile.
About, if we had an in-house crew that was trained up, we could do it about that for that. Right now, it's about $4 million a mile for us to outsource it. One of the issues specifically with urban paving versus rural paving is the ADA laws say that if we are going to rehab a street, we have to bring the ADA up into compliance. That doesn't matter if we're using federal money. That doesn't matter if we're using state or local money. Every single ped ramp is around $6,000, not including the sidewalk. So if you're thinking one city block, that's 8 ped ramps that you've got to bring up to date as well. So it severely limits the amount that we can do, and it gets really expensive very fast.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, well, I guess just comments for the record. Nampa has an active road project at Eustick and Star Road. So you have a lot of resources in addition to, this is not roadway, but a water main that collapsed. And so my point in saying that is that the need is real for cities, and that the growth and the maintenance, deferred maintenance because of lack of funding, is not keeping up. The legislative cap is not allowing cities or the county to keep up with the increased growth, which is at some level, or maybe just take the filter out, it's a disservice to the people that have an expectation of good roads and everything else that goes with it. So thank you for being here and for your testimony. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Commissioner. If I may also be allowed a little bit of leeway, you brought up a very specific grant regarding a river crossing. NAMPA's plan is still to continue partnering in these types of things. That grant we were unsuccessful in, unfortunately. It was a first-come, first-serve. By the time we uploaded everything, I think it was 6 minutes from when they first opened it, and the money was gone 6 minutes in. ACHD was able to get theirs in minute four, and they were successful. So somewhere between minutes four and six, the money ran out. But we will continue to look at partnership projects and capacity projects needed for the entire valley. Wow.
And I really appreciate that, because we travel that river crossing a lot. And the need, if you go down there at all, it is a hot mess on construction projects. And just trying to simply move people in the middle of an agricultural operation, specifically down Star, it's complicated. So...
Thank you.
Bruce? Can I approach to...
Sure.
Yeah. Thank
you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah, if you can just increase it in size there, please. Possibly. But yeah, that's good there. Thank you. Chairman, Board of County Commissioners, patrons of Canyon County, I'm Bruce Bain. I'm the Director of Highway District 4. Thank you so much for letting me present on this topic. Highway District 4 is fully in agreement to move forward with this, and I hope that we can help to answer any questions and make this easy for the county commissioners. This exhibit here, exhibit one, I've shown you this previously at another meeting that we had in front of the board. It as well adds on projects for, as you were mentioning, future projects in, to be done in 2027. You'll see it a little bit different color there. So I'm showing this exhibit just to let you again refresh you on all the work that Highway District has done. These projects are from 2021 to 2026, and then, as I said, some into 2027. And we just want to show all the work that we're doing. Crystal happened to mention about PCI ratings. Our rating on our road system in Highway District 4 is over 90, and we're very proud of that, and we're going to try and keep maintaining that. However, to do those things, it costs a pile of money because, as you all know, we're repaving those roads, and we're not just filling potholes. We are filling potholes if they're there, but we're trying to actually pave all new roads and build new bridges and do all those major things so that rating does not go down. Because as Crystal mentioned, once that rating goes down, it is huge money to try and get it back up again, and it's almost an impossible task. So we have a high rating, and we want to keep it that way going forward. In our district, we have about 320 miles of roadway. And on top of all this work that's shown here, we chip seal approximately 50 miles of road a year. Yay. And I mention that because people complain about getting their windshield cracked, and I hear it. And I got mine broke very first road that we did on Midway Road, and I was like, oh, great. I joined the crowd. So in the past 6 years, we've done about 300 miles. So we've almost done the entire district, you know, in these past 6 years, and that's our stance is to try and redo the whole district every 7 years. That's our goal. That's what we try and do to keep those roads up. In perspective, the amount of roadways that we look after, if you drove from Boise to Salt Lake City, not quite to Salt Lake City, that's the amount of roads that we look after in Canyon County if you put them end to end. So, you know, just imagine it's a pile of roadways that we're doing. If you can turn to Exhibit 2, please. So this exhibit shows in kind of the purple color just the road work that you're asking about. You're asking about projects specifically for this money. So these projects here that you'll see, some roadway, some intersection projects, some bridge projects, are projects that are totally unfunded. So these are projects that we don't have money to do, okay? We're still going to go out and we're still going to do our 6 or 7 or 8 miles or 10 miles of paving roadways every single year, and we're still going to do the chip sealing. We're going to do all that other maintenance. But these are other projects that are going to go unfunded without additional funding. And so hopefully this will gives you a little bit of an idea for our highway district, you know, stuff that we're going to prioritize for this money. The approximate cost on this sheet here is about $23.2 million. Just know that. So it was mentioned earlier that the general fund transfers have been decreased from the legislature. State legislature ran short of money, as you know, last year. In 2024, we got approximately $2.1 million from that transfer. 2025, we got $1.9 million. This year, we got $234,000. So, you know, just a pittance in the bucket that would go towards these projects. And as I mentioned, $23.2 million compared to $234,000. So we'd have to wait, you know, 10 years to do anything. Well, we can't do that, as you well know. We are in the path of growth. You know, the other highway districts are a little bit further out, and Nampa Highway District, most of those projects are coming into the city of Nampa, and they're not going into the highway district. So Highway District 4 is totally in that brunt of growth. We completely surround Middleton, which is growing. We're on the western side of Star, which, you know, is just growing incredibly. And we totally surround Caldwell as well. So, you know, we're just in the face of all of that growth, all that expansion, all that extra traffic. You know, so with all that said, and also, too, I want to mention that some of these projects you'll see are on State Highway 44, State Highway 2026, and State Highway 19. ITD does not have funds to do these projects. However, these are where most of our accidents are happening. So we have the county roads that intersect into those intersections, and then, of course, the state looks after the, you know, the state highway. However, the state does not have the funding in place to do any of those, and so it may land on Highway District 4 to, you know, to do those projects, or at least help to do those projects. And those projects are very expensive. To do a signal at any one of those intersections is $3 million plus. You know, and that's where a lot of the requests are coming. So I just want to point that out as well. And so hopefully this registration fee initiative passes. Again, it's been mentioned several times. This is up to the voter, and I totally think that that's the way it should be done, you know, that the voter should have the say on whether they want to do this or not. Thankfully, in Ada County, they've done it. They did it 10 years, and I believe they're coming back, I believe, this year.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yes, yeah, top mm-hmm. it for another 10. You know, and the people of Ada County have understood that funding is needed, and that's where it's going to. And I'm sure if we bring it forward to the people of Canyon County correctly, that they will agree with that as well. With that, I'll stand for any questions.
Chairman, I have a question. I did not see this on the ITD map, and I don't see it on here. So the intersection, which is a bad one at Midland and Highway 2026, which has been exacerbated by the closure of Middleton Road, the building of Fred Myers, the planned construction for a number of residential and commercial projects in that area. Who's picking that up?
So it's funny that you mentioned that, Commissioner. So on the trip over here, that's part of the reason why I was late coming in. So sorry about that. Other than, of course, that road construction out there. But but anyways, the we were talking with Jason from ITD. Mm-hmm. And so we talked about that project specifically because I mentioned the same thing to him. In 4 years ago, we came to the state and asked them about putting in a span wire intersection signal there. And they turned that down. Jason as well has turned that down. But I told him, I said, now is the time. You guys, this is unfunded. This is crazy that you're not allowing us to go ahead with this project at this intersection, you know, where there's deaths. We tried to do it when we had Middleton Road and Linden when we were building the roundabout there and had it closed, you know, perfect time to do that, right? Right. Now that it is unfunded, hopefully he's hearing it and hopefully he will allow us to go ahead with that project and move it forward. But yeah, funny that you mentioned that. We also had a discussion about Canada in 2026
right,
as well.
Right, another bad one.
Oh, crazy right now. It's just, it's insane. And ITD, I called them about a week ago on that, and they told me, oh, yeah, we by far, the majority of calls into ITD statewide were about that one intersection.
Yes.
Last week. So know that we will partner with them, and we will get something done if it's the last thing that I do. But I push on them as hard as I can, Commissioner. And it's good if you do as well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. The sister of one of the crosses represented there is pushing hard on the state legislature to get funding for that site. So the question becomes how many people have to die at that intersection? Former Valley View School superintendent died between Canada and Midland. Yeah. And we hear those sirens. I live in proximity to that. But it really is one of the most dangerous intersections in Canyon County. And a travesty that the Transportation Department is not looking at that and continuing the development of that state highway eastward because they've done a good job up to that Speed Parkway, a little bit beyond that, but that is a critical need. And thank you for your commitment. I know that when you finished the impact fee study for Middleton, you moved to Caldwell. You're everywhere in that area, and your testimony here today that that's a dangerous crossing. It's really what it is, particularly there are a number now going bi-directional for the tractor supply facility and then all the gravel operation that's happening down by the river. Nobody else should have to die because government cannot find a way to fund the infrastructure that's needed. So thank you for being here today.
Yeah, I appreciate those comments, Commissioner, and believe you me, we have these conversations every single day. Unfortunately, as I say, we don't control some of these roadways.
Right.
So we can only recommend what we would like to do. And, you know, and we are good partners with these other agencies. But if they say no, you know, I will let you know so you can give them a call as well, though.
Appreciate that. I don't mind doing my share of that. And I appreciate the work that you do. You're well respected out there. You've been in this community long enough to know what it needs. So thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Yes,
development application was just recently approved. That part of the conditions of approval were that turn signals at Duff and Lansing had to be put in before the final plat. So that developer is going to have to pay for that. So potentially, if they go through with it, I mean, those will get done.
Yeah, Commissioner, I'll speak a little bit about that intersection. So because nothing has been done for so long at that intersection, Highway District 4 on our own, we actually took on to prepare the signalization plans for that intersection, and we are doing that currently. That's on our own. We have an agreement with the state. Again, it's a state highway. So they've allowed us to do those plans on their state highway. And so those plans will be fully ready as soon as, you know, an approved project goes in there. So just know that those plans are going to be ready approximately the end of January next year. And there's a huge development going in right at that intersection as well of Duff and State Highway 4, State Highway 44 that Middleton is looking at right now. And so that has to go in. There's no question. But we will be able to hand them a set of plans and say, go build this. The state will, they'll look after the construction inspection on it. But believe you me, we're trying to do whatever we can to advance that. As soon as those plans are far enough ahead, we're going to go ahead and let the same group that we have doing the plans for Duff also do the plans for Lansing. So please know that will be in place as well for whenever a group comes in here and is able to take on that responsibility for that.
So the same developer is supposed to do both of them.
Oh, well, awesome. That sounds great news to me, yeah. Commissioner.
So yeah. Need to have your people talk to our people.
Yeah, please. Yeah, I don't know about the project that you mean, but yeah, we'll definitely have those ready.
Bloomington Hills. Yeah, yeah. He needs the info.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And we will continue to do the same thing, I think, for other intersections on the state system. As I said, the state ITD does not have the funds to do that on a lot of their corridors. We're going to take that on, or we have already started to take that on. We're going to continue to do that because we can't wait.
Well, thanks for getting out in front of that. But that was the main condition, basically, is they have to have both of those signals in before they can do the final plat and have a single parcel to sell.
That's exactly music to my ears.
Yep. And Chairman, I would submit also, thank you for bringing that up, Commissioner Brooks, that the development community needs to contribute at a greater level to the signalization or transportation infrastructure needs. We would never have to have a lot of these conversations if that proportionate share was being considered by people bringing people to the area. So.
All right.
Anything else, Board?
That sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Doing a time check, if you have another agenda at 2:30? Okay. We've got, I believe Middleton wanted to come up and say a few things.
Commissioners, thank you for this opportunity. I'm Tim O'Meara. I'm the current mayor of Middleton, Idaho. And the discussion that you guys just had with Bruce on Highway District 4 is very relevant to what's going on in Middleton right now. Certainly, we're quite well aware of the development on Farmington Hills there between Duff and Lansing. We also have all three corners that are undeveloped have developers talking to us now so that they can improve that intersection. There's a significant realignment of that intersection that Highway District 4 is going to have to address because South Duff and North Duff don't align perfectly. So there'll be some changes there. But those three developers are all aware that they're going to have to help pay for that intersection as well. City of Middleton has been requiring from developers for quite some time their pro rata share of those intersections. And having Highway District 4 design that intersection, ITD approve it, I think we're moving along rather well towards getting that intersection improved shortly. But obviously, the shortfall in revenues because of 389 has really crippled our transportation budget. And so this registration fee would be a great asset to us, but we really want our constituents to have a chance to weigh in on it. That's probably the only way we're ever going to get that type of funding approved. It's a hard sale right now. People just don't want to pay any more tax, and I certainly agree with them, but we all have to chip in where we can to make it safe for everybody. And if you have any questions of us, I'd certainly like to answer them.
I don't have any, Mr. Chairman.
Nope. Sounds good. Thank you
for your time.
Thank you for being here, Mayor.
probably have time for one quick, more quick one, anybody? Okay. All right. So thank you for again for your time. I took down a few notes that things still need to be done and follow up on, so I'm just going to go through that and make sure I didn't miss anything. So we will follow up with the ones that are undecided. That's an action item for us. We've got the ones that are no's. We'll work with the opt-out form. The question on a project list, how did you get the $49 million? And the next one, what is each agency going to spend with the first year at the $4.4 million? Some ballot language that hopefully indicates that this is an agency-driven request, and we're just asking the commissioner to honor that. And so those are the main things I believe are action items that we can bring back to you the next time we talk. Did I miss anything?
I don't think so.
Comprehensive.
Okay.
I would really encourage you to talk to Notice and Melba some more. I remember when the Lucky Peak powerhouse came through and we had, I can't remember if it was 8 or 9 irrigation districts, and 2 of them said, no, we will not take free money for the rest of the years that plant operates. They had no money into construction, no money into operation, just royalties. So I know that it happens with public entities, but if you could circle back with Notice and Melba, somehow those councils are not even grasping what they're saying no to.
Will do.
Okay.
Next steps, is there one of the things I'd like to get clarity on is the clerk's process. I want to make sure that I give them enough time. Is it okay that we reach out to them? And yes.
Sure.
Okay. And then the other one that wasn't sure about is that in order to ask for a vote, is there a resolution that we need to prepare for you that says so, or is that something that you're legal, we work with your legal on, or what would that look like?
I think it would be incumbent upon us to work through our legal to create the question for the ballot. If we're going to authorize it, we're going to be the ones that are going to drive the question.
Okay, and we can certainly work with your admin to find a different date.
Okay.
All right.
Does that cover it?
Yes.
Sounds like we got our marching orders.
All right. Thank you again for your time. We really appreciate it.
All right.
This is great.
Thanks, Tom.
Have a good rest of the meeting.
All right. Yeah. Let's consider ourselves adjourned to the next item. Thank you.